ECDC On Air,
the podcast of the European Centre for Disease Prevention and Control.
Keeping up to date with European epidemiology.
Hello and welcome to this podcast. My name is Catherine and I'm your host for today's episode of ECDC On Air. This is the podcast at the European Centre for Disease Prevention and Control, which is recorded from our headquarters in Stockholm, Sweden. In this episode, we are going to talk about how ECDC uses statistics in public health and surveillance. What are these statistics? How are they used? How and why ECDC works with them? These are the topics of our today's discussion. With us today, we have Gaetano Mahon, who is expert in biostatistics at ECDC. Good morning, Gaetano.
Hello, Catherine. It's a pleasure for me to be here.
Could you first introduce yourself and tell us what led you to work on statistics?
I was born and raised in Italy, and I have a master in statistical and economical sciences and a PhD in public health. When I was young, I was divided between two passions, the one for medicine and the one for numbers. At the end, I chose to study statistics and economy. And after the end of the bachelor and master studies, I was given the opportunity to apply statistics to medicine and health, doing a PhD in public health. I realized that I was achieving both of my dreams, and I have never deviated anymore from that path.
What brought you to ECDC, and what are you doing?
I have joined ECDC in 2021, and I was very happy and proud to be able to help the agency in such an important historical period where I could be in the front line fighting COVID-19. At ECDC, I am one of the two experts in biostatistics. We support the different units for what concerns sample size, study design, statistical analysis, results interpretation, and writing technical reports, scientific article, or other scientific outputs. We also organize and run workshops in statistics internally and within international collaborations.
Do you respond to requests from experts or do you initiate projects yourself?
Yes, generally different units can ask our help if they need statistical analysis for any type of research question, but we are also free to take our own initiatives on some projects using the data that are available.
Okay, I see. To begin with, could you please tell us what the term statistics mean?
There are several definitions of statistics. I like to see statistics as a science that involves collection, description, analysis, and interpretation of quantitative data. As a matter of fact, statistics can be divided in two parts, descriptive and inferential. While in descriptive statistics we use parameters and graphs in order to simply describe and summarize the data that we have collected, which is often a sample of an entire population of interest, in the inferential statistics we do inference, which means we try to say something about the whole population from where the sample was taken. And I like to call it the magic of statistics, when you have somehow precise estimates about something you have not seen.
I understand what descriptive means, but inferential is a little bit more difficult for me. Can you give me an example?
Yeah, suppose that we want to estimate the prevalence of a certain disease in a population of interest. In order to do so, instead of testing the whole population, which will be, of course, time-consuming, it will be expensive, and sometimes also, I would say, not ethically or technically possible, we can select a random sample from this population of interest. Of course, there are several characteristics that this sample should have, like it should be representative of the population, should be of enough sample size, should have several characteristics that it makes it representative of the population. But once we have selected our sample and we are happy with that, it's a representative sample of the population, then we can use descriptive statistics when we only aim to summarize the data in our sample. But we can also use some more complicated statistical techniques in order to say something about the overall population where the sample was taken from. For example, we can use a so-called confidence interval, which is an interval that contains with 95% probability the true value of the prevalence of the disease in the population of interest.
So what you mean is that you use a sample and then you generalize the results to a larger population.
Precisely, yes.
Okay, I understand.
Yeah, practical example could be that we say that we have observed a 5% disease prevalence in our sample, and we can say with 95% confidence that the prevalence in the population of interest is somewhere between 3.5 and 6.5, for example.
What is biostatistics?
So biostatistics does all the things described above in health-related fields, including medicine, biology, and public health.
We are going to talk about a particular method of data analysis called time series. What is a time series and how is it used?
A time series is a list of data points over time. We can think, for example, at the number of new cases of a disease collected every week in a certain country. They could be collected as an absolute numbers, or, for example, we might want to consider that the population change over time, the population composition by gender or by age groups and so on. So we might, instead using proportions instead of absolute numbers, we might use new weekly cases over 100,000 population, for example. Once we have collected these data points over a period of time, for example, 5 years, we might want also to know if there is an increasing trend or decreasing trend or constant trend of the new cases over this period of time. We may want to check if there is seasonality in the incidence of the disease. Seasonality means, for example, that the number of cases each year increases in a certain period of time. For example, respiratory diseases who might have higher incidence in November and December in the winter months. We might also want to know, for example, if the new incident cases are correlated to another variable. For example, we might want to know if the number of respiratory infections are correlated with the average temperature. Or we might also want to make some forecast or prediction. For example, we might want to estimate the future number of cases, given the assumption that the trend will continue as it was.
If I understand well, you take two sets of time series and try to identify a correlation between them.
Yes, we may also want to understand if the trend has changed significantly during the study period, doing a so-called interrupted time series analysis. We do an interrupted time series analysis quite often when we want to see if an intervention has changed an outcome of interest. We can think, for example, at the effect of school closing over new COVID-19 weekly cases. And of course, we assume that, for example, in this case, the intervention should bring to a reduced number of cases after the intervention. In this case, an interrupted time series analysis can help you in picturing the change happening not only in the trend before and after, but also if you want to look at the short and long-term effect of the intervention. Because the effect of intervention can be very different. There might be a sudden drop after the intervention, followed by an increasing trend again, or you might see a sudden drop followed by a constant linear trend, or no sudden drop at all, but a change in the observed trend. So I said that often you do an interrupted time series analysis when you have an intervention, but sometimes you might also want to do an interrupted time series analysis without an intervention, just because you are observing a change and you want to see if this is statistically significant.
Could you please give us an example of a work you have done recently?
Yes, I can give you an example taken from a study that we recently published in Eurosurveillance Journal. And the title of the study was Legionary Disease in the UEA, Increasing Trend from 2017 to 2019. In this study, we had a dataset containing data on 65,000 legionary disease cases that were reported by European countries to ECDC between 2012 and 2019. These data were extracted from the European Surveillance System, TESSI. And in this study, actually, we had observed already an increasing number of cases after the 2017. So we wanted to have a statistical comparison of the trend in 2017-2019 compared to 2012-2016 to see if there was a statistically significant change in trend. So we performed, in this case, interrupted time series analysis to compare the trends observed of the two different time periods and to assess significant change in point estimates, which will be like short-term effect, and trend, which will be the long-term effect, of Legionnaires' disease cases. And actually, our study showed a significant increasing trend in the Legionnaires' disease cases during 2017-2019 compared to the previous 5 years.
Which data were used in this case?
Yes, the data were taken from a technical platform for web-based data submission, storage, and dissemination called the European Surveillance System, TESSI. TESSI is a password-protected anonymized database hosted by ECDC, and actually it was launched in 2008 for collection, validation, cleaning, analysis, and dissemination of data. TESSI is a key aim to provide the basis for high-quality data analysis and interpretation, and helps to providing evidence for public health action. So all the EU member states and EEA countries report data on communicable diseases to the system.
Yes, at this stage, I would like to mention the podcast episode 13 on Disease Data Hub. In this podcast, our specialists explain how data are submitted by member states to ECDC and what do we do, how we assess the quality, etc., etc. Who decides on the method to analyze data?
Well, research is always a teamwork, so we decide together. Of course, as an expert in biostatistics, I am expected to advise about the methods to use to analyze the data once we have discussed the aim of the study and the many other technical aspects of it. However, the final decision is always a matter of discussion among all of us.
I suppose that some methods are suitable for the type of analysis you need to do. For example, if you need to analyze a trend over time, you would choose the time series method, right?
Actually, many different statistical methods can be used to answer the same research question, with different degrees of complexity in the analysis and different assumptions that will need to be taken care of. So the answer would be no. There is not only one statistical method to use for this research question, but many different can be used.
Now I would like to come back to the study you talked about earlier. How was it used?
One of the ECDC's tasks is to monitor trends in communicable diseases over time and across member states to assess the present situation, respond to rises above warning thresholds, and facilitate appropriate evidence-based action. So the output of this work was a scientific publication in Neurosurveillance Medical Journal. The member states may use these statistics as basis for public health decisions.
Monitoring data on infectious disease is one of the activities of the ECDC. In the event of an outbreak, do you use this data to assess the risks?
Yes, we do use monitoring data on infectious diseases to assess present and future risks in the event of an outbreak. We could use time series-based statistical data-driven procedure on the monitoring data to track an outbreak.
Does data monitoring help ECDC to anticipate potential future outbreaks?
Yes, ECDC monitors a variety of epidemiological indicators as a part of surveillance. And ECDC has developed several algorithms applied to two epidemiological indicators, such as weekly case notification rate per 100,000 population and the weekly death notification rates per 1 million population. So the aim of those is to early detect a new disease outbreak. This algorithm can help sending signals if the notification rates goes above what is considered the expected range of endemic incidence.
Have you ever anticipated an epidemic?
No, but these algorithms, they don't really aim to anticipate epidemic, but mainly to send you an alarm if at the early stage of an epidemic. So if you really see that the number of cases is going above what is considered the normal threshold, they send you an early alarm in order for you to act quickly.
As a European citizen, how do I benefit from your work? Does it have an impact on my life?
Yes, as an European citizen, I think that you really benefit by the member state where you live, knowing that there is an increasing trend in any infectious disease in Europe, so that your member state can take the necessary initiatives to limit the spread. And in general, I think that having the necessary pieces of information in order to know the incidence of infectious diseases both at European, regional, and national level, and therefore being able to decide the public health measures to be taken, I think it's quite important and I think it will impact your life in many ways, but particularly I can think about two ways where it will impact your life. One way is that, of course, you will have a lower risk to get sick of the disease. But also, we can think about the situation with the national health system with COVID-19 and the pressure that COVID-19 cases put on the national health system. Following this, we can think that the member state will ensure that the pressure of the health system will be sustainable so that you can still use the health system for a variety of health conditions or preventions that you might need.
This podcast is coming to its end. Thank you very much, Gaetano, for this interesting conversation.
Thanks for inviting me.
We hope you enjoy listening to this podcast about statistics and time series in public health. It's not a very easy topic. If you want to know more, please visit our website, ecdc.europa.eu, or follow us for the latest news on social media.